Welcome to Spectrum, a daily public affairs presentation of WCSM. And now, here's Spectrum, the talk of Mercer and Auglaize counties.
Fair board probably 3 to 4 weeks, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks before the fair starts, and we update the fairgrounds disaster plan. Just look through that and review from like previous years, talk about, you know, things that went well, things that didn't go well, things we need to modify every year. Go through that once a year, just kind of review it, update phone numbers, that type of thing, and just kind of put that plan together so we got things kind of set up before if things were to happen during the fair. But the other thing we do too is we reach out to the National Weather Service this week, and we ask for weather support through the week. So every morning between like 5 and 6 in the morning, they send us a very detailed report of what the weather conditions are going to be that day. Because, you know, we have some pretty large events out here. You know, we had a couple concerts, big demolition derby, we got band show. Got some certain times at the fair, we got a lot of people out here. We got people in tents, people on rides. So it's a good idea to have that very detailed weather service report that's sent out to us every day. And that goes out to our office and also goes like to the fair board. And then, like say, if we were to have an event that comes in, whether it's a wind or a dangerous condition that's coming in, whether it could be lightning, could be wind, storms, anything like that, they give us a call personally, and then I can pass that information along to the fair board, and we can kind of get together, make a decision what we're going to do with the events going up, see if we need to reschedule, postpone, you know, take shelter, evacuate, depending on what we need to do. So, like I say, this week we've had some pretty decent weather other than the heat. The heat's been, you know, up there pretty good. It's been pretty sticky. We had a little bit of rain last Wednesday, I believe, before the fair started. I think we got a pretty significant amount, but I don't think it really affected anything out here. And then I think the next possible chance for rain is like Tuesday into Wednesday, I think.
All right. Excellent. And, you know, when it is excessively hot, I think the fair is doing everything it can. There's plenty of water available. There's air-conditioned buildings. So they're doing their thing, right?
Yeah, there's places to go get out of the sun, that type of thing. You know, we just always encourage people to stay hydrated. You know, if you get too hot, go find a place to sit down and chill out for a little bit. You know, like I say, just enjoy the fair. Just be careful about it. You know, everybody knows their limitations and just try not to exceed them.
And also with OMEA, the hazardous material plan updated. You do that annually. What is that plan all about?
Yeah, a lot of the things I'll talk about today, we haven't really talked about this in the past. One of the things our office does is on the spill response side of things. So the Mercer County Hazardous Materials Plan comes into play with that. Every year we have to submit that for an update. That's actually due October 17th. Usually I try to get that done a little early so I don't have to worry about it. I don't like to put things off to the last minute. So that's been submitted for annual review. And that's the plan like all of our fire departments reference when they have like a spill in the county, as far as like a, you know, whether it's a truck rolls over, we have like a fixed facility that has an incident involving a chemical. That's the reference by which all of our responders use in the county. So we did submit that for update here like within the last month. And I think Neil's working on reviewing that for us right now. That's kind of one of the things we do is, you know, we got several plans we update, and that's just one of them that we do every year.
Another thing that happens too, exercises. You guys are all about that. You practice the things that a lot of us wouldn't even think of because you're ready to go. So you had one exercise, then something that happened in real life, which you know, that's going to count as an exercise, an authentic exercise, right?
Yeah. So the way it works with our hazmat planning in the county, we get put on a 4-year exercise cycle with the county hazmat plan. And we have like 12 objectives that we have to meet within that 4-year exercise cycle. One of them has to be a full scale exercise where it's actually we got to meet like 8 objectives. So we got to get people together usually on a Saturday because it's mostly the responders are predominantly volunteering in this county. So we usually get together on a Saturday and set up an exercise and do that. We can do a functional, which is a little smaller scale, and then we can also do a tabletop. That's one you can do in the wintertime, that type of thing in an office. But those are the types of exercises we do. The other thing we have to do once in that 4-year exercise cycle, we have to evaluate our emergency operations center, which primarily that is our office is number one, and the meeting room in the central service building is number two. So we just did that emergency operations center exercise late last year and got credit for that. So we got that 4-year exercise cycle we have to work with. That exercise cycle actually started July 1st. And one of the things you can do is you can do an exercise, or if you have a real world event, you can count that if you meet the certain criteria. So, you know, I'm not a gambler, but on July 1st this year, I'd say we lucked out, or maybe we didn't luck out. But we had a real-world incident on Smith Road north of Rockford. We had a farmer that was applying some anhydrous on one of his fields, and a hitch broke, and it pulled the hoses off the bottom of the tank. So we had basically 2,000 gallons of anhydrous ammonia leaking, creating a pretty good plume. And Rockford Fire Department actually responded to that. And what they did, they got there, blocked off the road. There wasn't really any residences real close because we had south winds that day, so it took the plume away from the where we'd had to worry about like population protective actions, that type of thing. So the fire department got out there and put water on it, which knocks that plume down, which takes that plume down to a very small area. And basically, because it was only, you know, maybe 1,600 to 2,000 gallons we're dealing with, by the time we would have got anybody dressed out in suits with all the protective equipment, the material would have leaked out anyway. So they just assumed like a defensive position at that point, isolated the area, and just kind of kept an eye on things. And just basically let the product run out. And once the tank was empty, then the danger was gone. Because of that, I reached out to my Ohio EMA rep that usually does our exercise cycle, and our exercises, I should say. And I was speaking with Sam about, you know, can I get credit for this? And he said, absolutely. So we started talking on the phone while we're watching this tank kind of vent off here about what I needed to do. So it worked out pretty good for us, because by having that real world event, because we met all the criteria, we were able to get full scale exercise credit for that real world event. So it saves a Saturday for a lot of the responders and stuff that usually help us with these exercises. Number one, it saves, you know, EMA from having to come up here, Ohio EMA from coming up and helping us on a weekend. So it worked out pretty good. And that actually is supposed to go, I think, this Wednesday to the Ohio State Emergency Response Commission. And they should give us approval for that. So then that should count as our full-scale exercise for this year. So that kind of helps out with that process.
Also, you know, refresher trainings, you probably alternate who you work with. So most recently you worked with the Chickasaw and the Osgood Fire Department.
Yeah, once again, pretty much most of this today is about spill response. So we haven't really done any hazmat training in the county for a while. So we reached out, or actually Chickasaw and Osgood Fire Department reached out to our office just to see if, with my background with the fire service and the hazmat technician level, they reached out to me and asked if I could just give them a little 3-4 hour service on a Sunday. So we went down a couple different sessions and just kind of gave them like an update on the hazmat plan, just went over like some how to identify a product, how to respond to it, ran a little scenarios with them, that type of thing. So I think it was a pretty good training for them to participate in, because we hadn't done anything like that for a while. The other thing we got going on this year is later this year, probably September, October, or November, maybe even December, we're planning on having a hazmat technician class later this year. Usually Cleveland State University does that for us. It's usually a 40-hour class. It's usually 2 weekends because we're predominantly volunteer responders in the county, so we usually do it on weekends. So we're hoping to do that later in the year, and that's for open to any of the first responders in the county, usually predominantly fire departments, EMS, could be our law enforcement people. So that's the plan on getting them into that class later this year.
All right, now I understand too that, you know, late summer in Ohio brings weather volatility. So, you know, for everybody, it's their job to enjoy the summer, but your job to make sure that we're staying safe, right?
Yeah, this time of year, I think any time of the year, you can always have those pop-up things come in here and cause problems for us. I think in the past, we've even had a tornado in, what, November, I think it was. I think we had one several years ago. So, yeah, we just got to kind of keep an eye on that. You can always have the, you know, it's hot and cold this type of year, and, you know, that causes some issues sometimes. So we just got to always keep an eye on it, especially with all the summer festivals, the fair, and all that stuff going on. You got people outside, so we just got to kind of keep an eye on that, and, you know, so we keep our people safe.
Excellent. And, you know, obviously, certain things that you look for, and I think it's you look at probably things like heat waves a little bit differently than we do, because you're talking about, you know, possibly heat stress and health risks, you know, and you're probably looking at that a little differently than most of us would.
Yeah, I think when you, especially like this week with Fair Week, I mean, you look at different populations. Certain people deal with the heat better than others. It affects us all. But, you know, you get maybe your older population, maybe your younger population, even your animals, you know, that type of thing. You know, like Fair Week's a perfect example. You got all different age groups out here, and it affects us all differently. So that's what I'm saying. You got to take plenty of breaks, make sure you stay hydrated, stay out of the weather, don't overdo it, that type of thing. But we got to keep an eye on it. You know, like this week has been a perfect example of the heat wave. You know, it's been close to 90 plus. It's real humid, you know, and there's not really any end in sight yet. So
for sure. And then you look at, you know, tornado risk. primarily in spring, but we know, unfortunately, an isolated tornado is possible almost any time of year.
Yeah, we've had, obviously we had the EF3 in 2019. We've had some EF0s, EF1s in the county. Those can do, any tornado is bad. They can all do some damage, and until it affects you, you don't really know what kind of damage you can do. But yeah, you always have that risk in the area, like late summer. It could be any time of the year, really. Like say we've had them clear up into November, we've had issues here, So far this year, cross your fingers, we haven't had any in our county, but we've had them all around us too. So just something we got to keep an eye on.
In addition to that, with rain conditions, it can be drought, but also, excess rain too, where we simply have too much.
Yeah, we have not had that for a while. I think 2003, was the last time we really had it bad down here. I think everybody that's been around for a few years remembers the flooding there. But yeah, you got to kind of keep an eye on that. Too little rain, it affects the crops, and too much rain, then it affects other things. It gets really dry, then you start having field fires, that type of thing. So you got to kind of keep an eye on the rain. If we get too much, it causes a flooding. There's certain areas that are prone to flooding. It's just the good thing about it is usually you got some warning with that. It just doesn't pop up overnight. So usually got a little bit of warning with that so people can prepare for that.
And agricultural impact too, right? Those crops very much influenced by weather.
Yeah, whether they get them in late, get them in too early, or maybe they get them early and they don't get enough rain, or they get too much. That all comes into play. And then maybe it's time for the crops to come off, and then we get a bunch of wetness, and then that makes it hard to get them out. All that stuff factors in with with our area being predominantly agricultural related. So.
And environmental concerns too. Obviously, there's you. There's you think about Dr. Jackman and some of the scientists in Wright State. You talk about the algal blooms and when they tend to peak, right? It's weather related.
Yeah, it's all weather related. Everything gets good and warm, and you got the nutrient load, and then you get some rains, and maybe you don't. But this time of year, it's good and warm, so you start seeing the advisories put out for the lake, which we see them every year about this time of year. So. It's all those things kind of factor in with the weather and the environment.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk infrastructure and utilities and what you can do as we continue our conversation with EMA on Spectrum. Hey, welcome back here on 96.7 The Wave, Spectrum live at the Mercer County Fair. Phil Clayton's here, State Ohio EMA guy in Disaster Preparedness Month, Phil, and you obviously do this on behalf of people statewide, and fortunately or unfortunately, I guess it is what it is. We've had enough bad weather around here that at least it's not a hard sell to remind people of the importance of being prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love having the opportunity to come out and chat with you and meet with Director Will Rath and Cassidy Freeman here and his staff to discuss some of the preparedness efforts that we make and take here in the West Central sector of Ohio, the Southwest region of Ohio, and really as we look at the entirety of the hazard landscape to all Ohioans. So one thing that I want to discuss today and in the comments that Director Will Rath made previously is being that we are, the 11th of August today, and we're on the cusp of Preparedness Month, something that I want to really focus on is Ohio Preparedness Month, or OPM. So Ohio Preparedness Month, OPM, is a campaign aimed at enhancing public awareness and providing education regarding essential strategies for effectively preparing for emergencies, disasters, or really any unforeseen circumstances that may arise. September is officially designated as Ohio Preparedness Month by the state of Ohio. With coordination from my home agency, the Ohio EMA, the primary objective of this initiative is to inspire families, businesses, and communities to engage in proactive measures that enhance their readiness for a wide array of potential disasters. These may include natural calamities such as tornadoes, as we discussed previously, some flooding endeavors, winter storms, as well as health crises and human-made events. Ohio Preparedness Month serves to underscore the vital significance of being equipped for unforeseen circumstances, thereby alleviating fear, anxiety during those critical situations and incidents. It encourages individuals and communities to take ownership of their safety, ensuring crucial resources are ready and accessible when necessary. So once again, to highlight the key focus this year being prepare your home. So our theme this year for Ohio Preparedness Month is preparing your home, providing valuable insights on best practices and strategies to ready your residents before disaster strike. Observed each September to raise awareness about the importance of preparing for disasters and emergencies, those tornadoes, floods, snowstorms, that Ohio is certainly no stranger to. Disasters can strike at any time, in any place. Being informed and prepared is one of the most important ways you can be safe when a disaster does happen, with the ultimate goal to secure and be resilient within your own spheres of influence. Ohio Preparedness Month gives everyone an opportunity to plan ahead and be ready when faced with these emergencies. So some of the things that I believe Ms. Freeman is going to discuss here in just a bit is building an emergency kit or updating your current one. Know where to get emergency communications. Know what to do in a power outage or situation where we have long line extended outages. And be aware of weather risks that affect your area. So for this September Ohio Preparedness Month, week one, which will be September 1st through the 6th, is identifying your risk. Week two, September 7th through the 13th, is titled Plan Ahead. Week three, September 14th through the 20th, will be focused on mitigation. Week four, September 21st through the 27th, will be focused on preparedness. And finally, we round out Ohio Preparedness Month, September 28th through the 30th, with an emphasis on safety skills. So I say all that to say this, be sure to keep up with all OPM or Ohio Preparedness Month social media posts by following Ohio EMA social media accounts at Ohio_EMA and at Ohio EMA. You can check out our website, ema.ohio.gov. I know Mercer County amplifies these messages as well, as do many of our other contiguous counties across the West Central sector. One thing I'll leave you with is new this year, and as we've included Ohio Preparedness Month initiatives, is Ohio has designated August 15th, so this Friday, as Emergency Management Recognition Day. So if you aren't familiar with your county EMA or your community-based emergency manager, give them a shout out on August 15th, designated as Emergency Management Recognition Day.
And mention also, please have so many different ways of, you know, of getting involved. And we're going to have Cassidy kind of move on over here or talk into the mic. Yeah, that works too. First of all, Cassidy, good to see you again. We'll give you a chance to move a little closer to that microphone. First of all, I want to say congratulations. I understand you added on to your family, right? So, welcome home.
We have a little baby boy at home. He is the cutest baby boy in Mercer County.
Literally.
He won the Mercer Health Cutest Baby Contest this Saturday, and I won 30 years ago, so it's a family tradition now.
Good for you. We want to welcome you back, first of all, and remind people, obviously, that emergency kit and ways to get alert, right? So important.
Yeah, it's always good to have your emergency kit or your go bag, I like to call them, with, you know, batteries, water, like a backup power source, and even like pack something for your animals. Have your kids have their own if they want, you know, their toys, coloring books, something to keep them busy. Another thing for preparing for emergency is something people don't really think of is to check back up on your insurance policies. Like, are you covered enough? Flood isn't generally covered by homeowner policies. And then homeowner policies should be your primary way to restore your residence. Always take pictures, 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 pictures before you do anything.
No question. I also want to remember, too, more than one way. Our own station is with the National Weather Service, and we broadcast warnings, from the National Weather Service, Nixle, Mercer County Sheriff's Office. The apps on your phone are great. I'm a big fan of NOAA Weather Radios, but it pains me to say sometimes there can even be issues there. I think not long ago, the Cridersville station had to go down for maintenance, for example. So I think it's fair to say we got to have different ways of getting, that information, because what you think you can rely on won't necessarily be there. And of course, we can never say enough, those sirens, that is an outdoor warning siren, right? I mean, let's remind people when they complain and say, I didn't hear the siren in my house. It's like, wait a second, wait, don't do that, right?
Right, yeah. And then, like, storm anxiety is real in Mercer County, at least, from the amount of significant weather we've been having. So when you follow those people on Facebook, make sure it's a trusted source.
Yes, please. Every once in a while, I'll have people send me something and say, is this true? And I'll say, this person's not a meteorologist. This person doesn't even live, you know, here. And so I think following us, follow Mercer County EMA. And I guess I'll make one exception. I do trust Ryan Hall. You know, if people want to follow him, he is very good. He and his team, if you watch them on YouTube. But if you see anything else, right, Cassim, you gotta take that one with a grain of salt.
Right. So for sheltering, you know, your basement's probably the safest option. Otherwise, go to the interior room. And if you don't have any of those, maybe a public building, just make sure you have that warning. Don't try and go 5 minutes before the storm's coming in, because that's not great, and that's when we get most of our complaints.
That's right. Hesse, welcome back. Nice to see you again.
Thank
Jen,
you.
Always good to see you. Yep. Phil, thanks for visiting us. We set the clock by you every year, yep. So we appreciate getting to see you. Always a pleasure to talk with EMA people who went into public service as a career and pretty much dedicate, you know, their lives to keeping others safe. We wrap up Spectrum from here at the fair. Of course, we got another hour ahead of people to talk to, scheduled guests, and then some who are just unfortunate enough to be walking by, and then I just kind of grab them and put them on the radio, too. Yep. We talk to all of them as we wrap up Spectrum at the Mercer County Fair.